I'm not lying. You guys actually look amazing. It's good to see you this morning. My name is Jolie. I'm one of the lead pastors here at the Ark Christian Church, and we are so glad that you're here with us this morning because we have some really, really awesome things going on today. Aside from the fact that it is a special day to recognize and honor our mommies. Man. But before we get to that part, we do want to recognize the people who have read their Bible for the entire month, last month, and they put their name in a drawing, and we're going to draw for some prizes for the kids as well as the adults. So if you put your name in at the Welcome Center for reading your Bible completely according to the Bible reading chart that we have at the Welcome Center, we have a prize, all right? So kiddos, anybody 12 and under, you are going to win Joanna! Come here, baby. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I love it that our babies are reading their Bibles, and even if their mommies or their daddies have to read it to them, they're getting the word inside. That's the important part. And our adults, hopefully you read your Bible yourself, and your mommy or your daddy didn't have to read it to you. Oh, he's not here, but we are going to make sure he gets this. Kepu Sunia! Leka, daddy, would you receive this prize on behalf of your son? We'll make sure that he gets it. And he will want that, just so you know. All right. We also have another special certificate to award to Miss Rebecca Oyama. And can I have her big sister, Sarah Kahele, come up and present this to her? Come, come, come. I know it's on the stage, but you're beautiful, so you'll do fine. Okay, so I'm going to give this to Sarah. And Sarah, would you just share a little bit about how your Compass course experience was with Rebecca?
It was definitely an honor and a privilege because Becca came to me and wanted to do Compass Course for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was really to serve. She wanted to serve, which is fantastic because, you know, she's my sister. So I watched her be born and helped raise her, and then to see her get into the things of God, there's nothing more exciting and joyful than that. She obviously doesn't have the same genetics that I do. No, I'm just kidding.
So she is being awarded the certificate of completion for her Compass course. Congratulations. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead. I think he wants to take a picture. If you did not know, the Compass course is our Basics for Believers course, and it is the gateway for serving in this church. So whether you want to help in the children's ministry, worship ministry, ushering, welcome center, all of that stuff, we want to make sure you have a good, solid foundation. You know who we are. You know what we believe. It's from the Bible. We actually take you through scriptures with a personal mentor. So if you haven't taken that yet and you would like to, please see our welcome center. Our ladies would love to get you connected with a mentor and start you as soon as possible. All right, without further ado, we have some presents for our mommies. And if I can have all the children come. And you guys get to pass out Mother's Day presents to all the mamas. So if you're a mom, would you please stand so our children can identify you and give you a gift? We don't want to miss anyone. So, yep, mamas, if you can stand. Uncle Kevin, sit down. Thank you, baby. You have to have given birth. Oops. Go give it to a mama. We have lots of mommies standing on this side and on that side. Run, 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 run. Take a present to the mamas. Put it up. I have one. so awesome. Thank you, children. And thank you to our mommies for being amazing and awesome. You guys are so important and so special to us and to this house. And we honor you today. And we thank God for you. And we speak blessing over every single one of you. If you have, if there are extras and you have a mama who's not with us today, maybe they're at home, grab one and make sure that you take one to them if there's extras, okay? All right. Good job. All right. Well, we're going to have an amazing anointed man of God come and minister to us the word from the Bible. And encourage us regarding giving and receiving. Giving and receiving is an important part of our lives. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave, right? Super important. It's a part of God's nature, and so it's a part of our nature. And we're going to have Pastor Jake come up and encourage us in the word regarding giving and receiving. Without further ado, Pastor Jake.
Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mommies out there. Thank you for having children. I'm sure that everyone has a mother. It's genetic. I hear that if your mother had children, it's possible that you might as well. So today, I've got some great stuff for you, but before I get into it, I want to say, first of all, I recognize that some of you, after the word that you heard last week, you moved from this side of the congregation over to that side. Would you give them a big round of applause? Man, that's a long way to go. That's like at least 25 feet or something like that. And there's some people that usually sit on that side that are like in the middle. Would you give them a round of applause? And would you just give a round of applause for anybody that changed seats? It's amazing. I'm joking, and yet I'm not joking. I've been to churches where people sit in the same seat over and over and over again for like 25 years, and they literally do have their name on the seat, and they will get upset if you sit in their seat. We're not those kinds of people here. We move it around. We keep things new, keep things interesting. Let me tell you one way that you can have something really interesting occur in your life. Here's a great way. Fast with us. If you have never fasted in your life, especially out of choice, it is an amazing experience. You know, about a year or so ago, I like to go out and do like tactical shooting and stuff, not because I like to kill people, but just because it's fun to shoot guns, right? And so I was out at this shooting event, and there were some special forces guys there with me and some military guys, some law enforcement guys, and we were all just having fun shooting guns, and they decided to have a break for lunch, and I wasn't eating. I was just having some water and just talking with them, having a good time, and they're like, hey, you want to eat something? I said, no, thank you, and they're like, why aren't you eating? Aren't you hungry? I'm like, no, actually, I'm good. I'm doing like a 3-day fast. And they all in one accord looked at me and they said, why the expletive would you do that? And I said, well, because I like to be able to say no to things that sometimes control my life. And you know, the power to say no to food is like a primal instinct that you must eat if food is there. And to be able to say no to that gives you an incredible power over your own life. The Bible tells us that we should not be the servant to anything in our life. And if anything, including food, can tell us what to do, that thing is Lord in our life. So I suggest that maybe if you'd like to try something new and invigorating experience, fast with us. Even if you've never fasted a meal, maybe try fasting one meal first. If you fasted a meal, maybe try two. Maybe try going 24 hours without eating. If you're really bold, you can fast with us the entire time. We fast from Friday noon all the way till Sunday noon. That's actually only 48 hours, but it spans a total of 3 days. And when we fast, what we mean is that we don't eat. It is a zero-calorie fast, and you can drink water and other clear liquids, I guess, but it's a zero-calorie fast. That way, you get to exercise the power that God gave you even over food. During that time, we also take the time specifically at meal times and everything to not only read the Word of God, but also to pray. And so we take the time to solicit prayer requests from around the world for those that might need prayer. And we specifically go to God because the Bible says that some kinds of things don't change except with prayer and fasting. So for those things that don't change except for prayer and fasting, aren't you glad that there are some people in this world that fast and pray so that things can change? Do you know that you can be one of those people? I encourage you highly to join us on May, I think it's 24th, yes, May 24th through 26th on our fast forward. We're going to fast and pray, and then we're even going to do a step further, which is that the Bible says that when we fast, we should deal our bread to the hungry. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to take the time, the effort, the energy, the finances, and the food to be able to actually feed the hungry people in this community. So on Saturday, while we're fasting, by the way, add another layer of complexity to this. While we're fasting, we're actually going to serve other people. We're going to fast so that they can eat. If you'd like to join us, we invite you to join us to come and be a part of that in distributing food, not a food bank. It's actually our food that we're going to be giving. We're going to purchase a meal from a restaurant with the food, with the money that people don't spend on food, and they give it into a big collective pot, basically, and we spend that money to buy food so that we can feed the hungry in our community. They don't have to be homeless. They just have to be hungry. How many of you know that with the cost of housing and everything in our island community, that sometimes there's people that live indoors that have bare cupboards and are hungry? Yeah? Anybody know anybody like that? Invite them to come. It's over at our Source building, and we will feed them totally free, no commitments, but we will definitely want to pray for them. On June 7th, 8th, and 9th, we have Brother David Hogan coming, and I want to highly encourage you. That's a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. We want to highly encourage you to come. Why? It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Brother David Hogan is known throughout the world for being a powerful evangelist and apostle in Mexico, actually in the mountains of Mexico, some places that they've never even seen white people until he shows up. He's had to learn about 13 different native languages so that he can minister to the people because they still speak things like Aztec, not Spanish. And not only that, but his ministry is known for having raised quite a few people from the dead. Like over 500 people have been raised from the dead, some of them dead for as long as 4 days. How many of you know that's not an accident? That's a miracle. And if someone's dead and buried for 4 days and they come back to life, that is not an accident or a coincidence. That is a miracle. And his ministry has raised many, many people from the dead. And that supernatural life, can I tell you that if you're a Christian or if you're thinking about being a Christian, once you become a Christian, you are designed to live a supernatural life. You're not meant to live like a mortal person. You are meant to live like a supernatural God kind of person. And we want to bring people like this in that will help you to live that supernatural life. A supernatural life is better than a natural life any day of the week, and especially twice on Sundays. Last thing that I'm going to say before I preach to you today is that we're coming up to the summertime, and if you would like to get baptized, if you've never been baptized, or maybe your first baptism just didn't take, you know, like your first shower didn't really take, and you still kind of stink a little bit, yeah, well, you can get rebaptized. We're totally okay with that here. We don't sprinkle people. We bury people in the water, and we bring them up again after they bubble just a little bit, you know, and but you'll come back up, I promise you, unless the Lord keeps you down, and we're going to have beach baptisms, and we're going to have a beach connect all throughout the summer. So connect groups are going to go on pause during the summertime, and we're going to have beach connects. So we're going to get down to Magic Island Beach, not because it's magical. It's just a magical place, you know? And so we're going to go down there, and we're going to have a big old potluck, big connection there where you can come and not be in church, but you can be with amazing people. And you can invite anybody that you want to and eat way too much food if you choose to do that, or you can come and get baptized as well. We invite you to come sign up for baptism at our Welcome Center or on our app if you would like to get baptized, and we'll make sure that that happens. There is no better place on earth to get baptized than Magic Island Beach Park at sunset. Oh, it is amazing. Even if you didn't like to get baptized, you'll feel so much better after you do. All right, that's it. I want to talk to you today about giving and receiving. I want to talk to you about God's abundant life. If I made this pulpit look light, it's because it is. But I want to talk to you about God's abundant life. Do you know that God wants you to prosper and to have more than enough? God doesn't just want you scraping by. He doesn't want you groveling. He doesn't want you in that place. God wants you to have more than enough. You know how I know that? Because heaven is like that. The Bible says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that means that the way that things are in heaven are the way that God wants them to be. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no lack of peace in heaven. There's no lack of joy in heaven. And there certainly isn't lack of finance in heaven. The angels aren't being laid off. They're not having furlough days and all of that stuff. The angels are all right. Everybody is well taken care of in heaven. And we want God to establish his kingdom here on earth. But you know what it takes? It takes doing things God's way. If we want God's will, we got to do things God's way. You might want to write that down. You want God's will, you got to do things God's way. We can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't just do things the way that we want to and expect that God's will be done in our life. That's a good word for somebody today. I want to talk to you about going from faith to faith. It took somebody a movement to go from this side to that side. And it took somebody a movement to go from that side to the center and everything. And you had to be willing for me to stare you down if you're sitting down in the middle. Actually, I do a pretty good job of moving around the congregation and seeing you eyeball to eyeball so that you can look into my soul. Because the Bible says that the eyes are the window to the soul. So you can look on in. It's all right. It won't bother me at all. But you see, we've got to go from faith to faith. We got to go from little faith to big faith. And you got to do that in a specific way. Let me show you. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says this. Yep. Romans 1, 17 says, for in this, it's talking about the gospel, by the way, about the good news of Jesus Christ. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Revealed means uncovered. It means put on display. So it is uncovered from faith to faith. Say faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by McDonald's. No, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And it's important to understand that if you're going to live by faith, you can't just live by old faith, but you've got to live by current faith. You've got to live by growing faith. You've got to live by faith that is active and alive and moving, because otherwise, once something dies, like a plant that died in our front yard, it stunk. It was horrible. It was putrefying in the ground. And it smelled like death. See, our faith can smell like that if it's not alive and moving and growing and progressing. But God wants us to move from faith to faith. Amen. Check this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says this, now the Lord is that Spirit. Actually, a better translation of that phrase is where the Spirit is Lord. Where the Spirit is Lord. Lord, by the way, is like an old English term, you know, that talks about, it's like from the feudal system, right? Where somebody was the lord of a land. Like kingdom, the word kingdom is really two kind of different words mushed together. It means the king's domain, right? Kingdom is the king's domain. And so when we look at this phrase here that says now where the Spirit is Lord, or where the Lord is that Spirit, that means that the Spirit of God has to be in control. He's got to be the boss. His word is final in our life. Remember, if you want His will, you've got to do it His way. Now where the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So why do we come into a place like this, and maybe you're seeing people do some things that you wouldn't see them do anywhere else? You know, sometimes when people get involved with spirits of different kinds, like the Jack Daniel spirit, or like the Seagram's spirit, or the vodka spirit, or whatever, they start acting a little bit differently. They get a little bit loose, a little bit free, a little bit liberty. You know what? The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't think it's a coincidence that God connects the drunkenness with natural wine to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when people get drunk, if you were ever in living as part of the world like I was, and if you ever went to places where people got drunk like I did, then what you do is you find out that sometimes people get very liberal in their giving when they get drunk. They're like, another round on me. I'll buy you another round. People just start getting generous. I think sometimes we need to get under the influence of the Holy Spirit so we have liberty in our giving. Can you say amen? All right. I'm getting a little bit off track. You know, we were talking a little bit last week about how do you go from one level of giving to another level of giving. See, you've got to go from faith to faith. The faith that you had for this amount is not the same faith that you need for a bigger amount. You need bigger faith for a bigger thing. Can you say amen to that? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Will you turn to somebody and say, Oh, man. Just tell them I'm being transformed. I'm being transformed. By the way, it's okay to have fun in church. I just want you to know that. I'm being transformed. You know what that means? That means that you don't even know what I'm going to look like in just a little while. Hold on. You don't like what I look like? Don't worry about it. I'm being transformed. You don't like me right now? Don't worry about it. I'm being transformed. Listen, I'm being transformed or being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. The same image as what? The same image as Jesus. Let me tell you that if you were around Jesus today, you would love Jesus. You would absolutely love Jesus. You would either love Him or you would hate Him. One of the two. There's no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. You either love Him or you hate Him. That's how it was throughout the entire Bible. They either loved Him or they hated Him. By the way, the people that were the worst offcasts of society were the ones that loved Him most. And the ones that were the most religious people hated Him the most. If you have an angst towards Jesus, can I just say maybe you're religious? Well, aren't you religious? You're in church. No, I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I just follow Him. That's all I'm doing. We're being changed from glory to glory. How do you go from glory to glory? Well, first of all, let me tell you that in the Bible, the word glory also means wealth. You're going from wealth to wealth. How do you change from wealth to wealth? Well, you can either go this way or you can go this way. You can either go down in your wealth or you can go up in your wealth. How do you change where you're going? You change by faith to faith. You change by God being transformative in your life. When we are changed to be more like Him, to think more like Him, to give like Him, we are changed in our ability to have wealth to a different level of wealth. What do you mean, Pastor Jake? We have to change. See, faith is a reliance on God. It's not blind belief. It is a reliance on the character of God. Knowing that God is good. He is only good. The Bible says, in him is light and there is no darkness at all. He is purely 100% good. Amen. Why do bad things happen in the world? Because there's this guy called the devil and he does bad stuff. I know that this is not a complicated gospel. God good, devil bad. That's pretty simple, right? Love God, hate the devil. That's all you need to know to be successful in your Christian life. Love God, hate the devil. God is good, the devil is bad. Pretty simple. So how do you go from one level of faith to another level of faith? You ready? This is where the rubber meets the road for you. You have to go from one level of trust to another level of trust. I marvel at husbands and wives who sleep in the same bed night after night after night, and they will not combine their finances because they don't trust their spouse with finances. Dude, they could murder you in the middle of the night. Do you have kitchen knives in your home? They could cut your throat. And you're going to sleep next to them, but you're not going to combine your finances? What, are you nuts? I'm either going to trust them or I'm not going to trust them. I'm going to trust them. You see, with God, we need to move into a new level of trust. A new level of trust. What does that mean? It's a new level of allowing God to be Lord in our life. That means whatever he says to do, even if it seems like it is going to be detrimental to us or our forward progress, we say yes. Why? Because he's Lord. Where he is Lord, there is liberty. You know, let me just have you write these couple things down. I've gone a little bit long. But listen, we cannot distrust God and move to a new level of faith. Let me say that again so you can write it down, because a short pencil is better than a long memory. You cannot distrust God and move to a new level of faith. When God says go and you're like, I don't know about that, that is where your faith level ends. If you want to move to a new level of faith, you've got to move to a new level of trust. This is how it works. We demonstrate our faith and our trust in God by our obedience. See, that's the key right there, is that obedience demonstrates trust. When I tell my kid, come here, and they come here, they're trusting that the reason that I'm calling them to me is not so I can punch them in the throat. They're trusting that I'm calling them to me either because there's something, some blessing that's coming from me, or because I'm asking them to come away from something that's going to damage them. Do you know that without obedience, we cannot demonstrate trust? We cannot disobey God and say that we trust him at the same time. It is impossible. Those are mutually exclusive ideas. We cannot disobey and trust at the same time. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Amen. You want to go from glory to glory, from wealth to wealth, you need to go from faith to faith. In order to go from faith to faith, you've got to go from trust to trust. You have to go from obedience to obedience. Amen. That was a whole lot of things. You'll probably want to listen to that again another time. Today, I encourage you to take a step of obedience. Whatever God tells you to give, whether it's more than your usual, less than your usual, maybe it is your usual, I don't know, whatever God tells you to do, even if it seems like it's detrimental to you, I encourage you, I beg you to demonstrate trust in God, because God has never failed yet. Amen. See, faith is a reliance on the character of God. And in him is light, and there is in him no darkness at all. Today, here at the Ark, we've got three very easy ways to give. I guess if you add up the two hands, that's six, but there's only three. There are three very easy ways to give. You can give online on our website. If you would like to, you can give via our app, or you can just go ahead and text message to 77977. You can text the ARCCC. It'll give you a link that you can give electronically. If you would like to give in the old school kind of way, because you're just a little bit old school, by the way, those of you that, whoever did the announcements today, I saw that little kickback to friends in there. Those of you that didn't even recognize it, I'm older than you. But if you want to give the old school way, you can do that. There should be an envelope located in the seat back in the middle of the row right in front of you. You can grab that. Just go ahead and fill that out. Give your tithe, which is 10% of your income. You can give your offering. You can give in any category that you want. You can give in every category that you want to. But whatever you do, be obedient to what God tells you to do. Can you say amen to that? All right, let me pray over you real quick, and then we can give. Father, I pray that you would just speak to every hungry heart that's hungry to hear your voice and to know your ways. God, I pray that you would bring increase and blessing to them as they are obedient, put their trust, their faith, and their hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. In this church, we believe that you should bring your tithes to the Lord, because that's what the Bible says. So our very large Tongan brother here is going to put some baskets down front. He's not going to stand there and watch you. But we want to encourage you to bring your offering to the Lord. Even if you've given electronically, would you just come and present yourself? Because how many of you know God wants you more than he wants your money? Right? He wants your heart. So would you just present yourself before the Lord as an offering to him? Finally, if you're a guest here in this house, we want to ask our family to come and greet you, give you a handshake, give you a high five, whatever you're tolerate, and they may even give you a kind word or a handshake. Maybe it'll even have some money in that handshake if you're blessed. And the reason why we do that is because the Bible says wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. And we want our hearts to be with you. So would you please just receive it as a blessing and as a token of our love towards you during this time of offering? You guys ready? Whenever you're ready to give, we're going to turn on some music right now. When you're ready to give, would you come and give and then go ahead and greet the guests, get back to your seats, and we'll move ahead. Man, you guys are doing such a good job of greeting one another in the name of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that people will know us because of our love one for another. So we encourage you to love on one another, be a blessing to people around you. Go to a connect group. We'll just slip that in subliminally. Every once in a while, every few minutes during my message, I'm just going to say go to a connect group. All right, we're going to bless the tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for the gifts as well as for the givers. Lord, we thank you for everyone who was obedient today, and we ask you that you would cause that your blessing would rain upon them and take them from glory to glory, from wealth to wealth, from faith to faith. Lord, I thank you that you take them from trust to trust. God, those that are still developing trust in you, I pray that they would give you a chance. You said, try me, give me a chance. And if we would do that, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there wouldn't be enough room to contain it. Amen. We thank you for it. We bless your people and the gifts and the givers in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. You can have your seats. We're going to release the kids' class teachers over here to the side here. We've got about 40 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. All right, the teachers have had sufficient head start. Kids, we're going to release you to go and meet your teachers over here on this side. Thank you to all the parent helpers and all of that stuff. Lord God, we pray that you would bless these kids, bless the teachers, bless them as they grow and as they change into the image of Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Man, we've got a fertile church, I will say that much. And that's good. We like that. That's a good thing. Well, I'm excited to preach to you today a special message. We're taking a break from our series on the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his church. And we've got a message for you specifically for Mother's Day. So now, gentlemen, you might be looking at yourself and thinking, I'm not a mother. I can now check out and surf the internet. No, 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 no. No, you may not. What you can do, though, is you can listen to how God created mothers to be. And what you can do is you can understand that in many ways, because you're probably going to get a message on Father's Day, and you can take that message and find out the heart of God. You see, God didn't just ask us to do things or command us to do things just randomly. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says that God created us in his image. So when you're listening to this message today, gentlemen, you can listen to the character, the nature of God himself. See, when you understand that this is partly God's character as well, you'll begin to understand the greatness that he has towards you, for you, and in you. So today, would you just, if you want to take notes, I highly encourage you to do so. If you would like some pre-done notes that you can just fill in the blanks, there are some available at our Welcome Center, as well as you can just go right onto our website, go to the messages area, click on the tab there, and you can actually get a PDF version if you've got a way that you can fill in a PDF on your mobile device, because I know all of you have some kind of a mobile device in this day and age. So if you'd like to do that, you're welcome to do so. We invite you to do so. And not only that, but it will position you to be ready for your Connect group this week. You should go to your Connect group this week. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you today about Mama Bear Boldness. Mama Bear Boldness. How many of you know that mamas, they crazy? Yeah? Sometimes they crazy. You've probably heard it a lot of times on TV or whatever, people quote it, but it is a well and widely accepted belief that the most dangerous place for anybody to be is where? Between a mama bear and her cubs. That is a dangerous place where you got not just the crosshairs on you, but boy, you better be ready for hellfire. I mean, it is coming your way, right? It's widely accepted that it is a dangerous place to get between a mama bear and her cubs. Don't get in that spot. Gentlemen, young men, don't get in between the mama bear and her babies. Young ladies, don't get in between the mama bear and her son. I'm telling you right now, make sure that it's God ordained. Otherwise, you are in for some trouble. Am I right, Sarah? Look at the size of her fist. You know, in fact, it's even so well known about the whole bear cub phenomenon that actually the Bible even refers to it. You might not have known this, but this is what the Bible says. It is written from the wisest man possibly that ever lived. His name was Solomon, and it's in the book of Proverbs. It says this in the New King James Version of the Bible. Proverbs 17:12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Now, I know that this seems to say that a fool in his folly is worse. True. But think about how bad getting in between a bear and her cubs is. That's how bad it is to keep the company of fools. Don't be a fool. Right? Even Mr. T knew that. Don't keep the company of fools. The Bible says that somebody that keeps the company of fools will be brought to destruction. But somebody who walks with wise men will be wise. Can I just tell you, if you're around some foolish people, quit that stuff, man. Just get around some wise people. Wise people. The Bible even knows that it's a bad spot to be in between a mother and her cubs. You know, I personally believe that God gave mothers this intense, aggressive, protective streak and instinct because he meant for them to play a huge role. A huge role. Say huge role. A huge role in protecting the destiny of their children. You know, it's not just if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. If you don't have your destiny, you don't have anything. If you don't have a destiny that is taking you somewhere, if you don't have a purpose taking you somewhere, my friend, you are already obsolete. You know what I mean? It's like, I remember that we had this old car. I don't know, it was like a Dodge Dart or something like that, maybe. Or Dodge Comet? No, Ford Comet. I don't know. It was a Comet. And I remember that looking in the vehicle, you're familiar with the gas pedal and then the brake pedal because it was automatic, column, you know, column shift like that. And then there was this little button all the way, you know where it has a pad like for you to put your foot on the left side of your car, all the way in the left. And then there was this little button there. Do you know what that button is for? For the windshield wiper. Why would you put the windshield wiper thing over there or the pump? Was it the pump for the windshield wiper? Yeah. See, you couldn't just push a button and the thing sprays. No, 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 no. It's mechanical. This is back in the day when somebody rolled up to you and they're like this and you knew what that meant. Because nowadays you roll up to somebody and they're like this. You're like, what is that? Because everybody just puts their windows down like this. But back in the day, you had to roll your window down. See, these kids, they don't even know what roll your window down means. No, literally, it was roll your window down. And that thing is obsolete. That button is obsolete because now we have a button up here. See, if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a destiny, you are already obsolete. But I've got good news for you. God has a destiny for you. Maybe you haven't stepped into it yet. Maybe you haven't found it yet. But God has a destiny for you. And if you are wandering aimlessly throughout this life, can I just tell you that the reason is because you have not found your destiny yet. If you knew your destination, you wouldn't just wander around all willy-nilly all over the place. You would go in the straightest direction that you could from point A to point B. And when you wander in your life, the Bible says it in the book of Proverbs again, the wisest man that ever lived wrote this. He wrote, where there is no vision, people dwell carelessly. Yeah. When you don't know where you're going, when you don't have a destiny, when your destiny maybe seems to have been snatched from you, sometimes you live carelessly. I want to help you today to understand that your mama is the protector of your destiny. She is meant to guard that, and anything that comes between her and you and your destiny, that thing has crosshairs and claw marks waiting for it. God created mothers to protect the God-given destiny of their children. Moms, take notes. Future moms, take notes. People that know someone who's a mom, take notes. They are meant to protect the God-given destiny of their children. You're not merely a reproductive plant. You are not merely meant to be a baby factory. You are meant to be the guardian of your children's destiny. I mean, you've got to take that thing seriously. It's not just about having babies and hoping that they'll grow up to be functional adults. It's not about that. It's about them stepping into the destiny that God has for them. This guy named Miles Monroe, in the foreword of one of his books about purpose and potential, says this, something to this effect anyway, that the richest places on this earth are not found in the vaults of Fort Knox. They're not found in the halls of fine art museums. They're not found in the coffers of banks, but they are found in the graveyard with people who have taken their destiny with them to the grave and never released it to the world. Wow. Can you imagine the wealth of the destiny that your children or that you have to release to the world? You have a responsibility to let that thing come out. The Bible says it this way: you don't light a candle and then put it under a bushel or under a cover, but you set it out in the middle of the room so that it can give light to the entire room. What a shame to have a candle in a dark room and not let it shine. You are the protector of your children's destiny, and the world needs their destiny. It takes faith. Listen, it takes faith for a mother to believe in the greatness of God's plan for her children. You know why? Because when you look at them, you're like, you a dumb kid. I mean, you know, sometimes when they do things that don't seem that smart, you're like, oh, I don't know if this one's going to make it. You're like, I'm not sure that they're going to do anything great in this world. Look, your child is made in the image of God. How could they not be great? How could they not? But it's our job, it's our responsibility to exercise the faith, the things that we cannot see. See, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. You know, when you don't see evidence of greatness in your children, they're great. Can I say that again? When you don't see evidence of greatness in your children, they're still great. That's what faith is all about. It is exercising what you cannot see and being like it is settled. It is finished. And when we look at them, it's important that we see the greatness of God in them. What do I do, Pastor Jake, if I just look at my kid and I don't see greatness in them? Now, I know that nobody would admit to that. I'll admit to that. There's times when I've looked at my kids and like, I don't know, man. Maybe they're just not that great. They have my genetics, after all. But you know what? I'm wrong when I think that, because the greatness of God is in them. The goodness of God is in them. By the way, if you think that every parent thinks perfectly about their kids all the time, you're lying. I don't lie in church. Can I tell you that moms can have big faith? I mean, you might think to yourself, Pastor Jake, you just said it takes faith to believe in the greatness in my children, but that's more faith than I have. Can I tell you that you can have big faith? Moms, dads, you can have great, big faith. Listen, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 in the New King James Version of the Bible says this: for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor or uncircumcision. Let me just pause right there. What this scripture is talking about is nothing on the external matters. Whether circumcised or not circumcised, none of that physical stuff matters. In Christ Jesus, none of it avails anything. No matter if you're 6'2", 220, the most athletic person in the world, none of that matters in God, but faith working through love. Do you know that faith works through love? My favorite illustration of this is perhaps like a power tool, right? Faith is like the power tool of your Christian walk. It's whatever you need it to be at the time in a lot of ways, but it's like a power tool, right? You can think of maybe a drill or a jackhammer or something like that. Sometimes you need to break things open in the realm of the Spirit of God for you Christian folks out there. You need to break some things open. How do you do that? Well, you need to hook that thing up to power. How do you do that? It's an extension cord that plugs into the power source of the generator. It's the extension cord that plugs into the power station itself. God is the power station, right? And faith, the power tool, works through the extension cord of love. Does that make sense to you? The bigger your love is, the bigger gauge wire you get to use, the larger your capacity for love, the greater power you can have at the end of that thing. It's like having a different level of circuit breaker, for those of you that are electronically minded. If you have a 15-amp breaker, you can't exert too much power before that thing pops. It's like, oh, overload. Put a 20-amp breaker and you go a little bit bigger. Put a 30-amp breaker, you're a little bit bigger. Two-pole 30-amp breaker. I mean, double 50. And now you're rocking. Some of us need to amp up our love for one another. I got good news for you. The Bible says this. The love of God, that means His love, is shed abroad in your heart. Do you know that sometimes all we need to do is stop living by our love and start living by His love? Amen. Stop living it our way and start living it His way. You want His will, you got to do it His way. So even when your spouse and when your children and when your boss and when the person that just cut you off in traffic seems unlovable, guess what? The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by faith. And you can take it to the bank that it is more than enough. Moms can have big faith. You know why? Because by and large, moms love their kids. It's true. So when you love your kid, let me tell you that the best person to pray for your kids is not me, because I don't love your kids. I'm just kidding. I just don't love your kids as much as you love your kids. I guarantee you that much. Why? Because I didn't push them out of my body, thank God. You love your kids so much that your faith can be huge regarding your children. The best people to contend for their children is their mom. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 through 27. You guys getting something out of this? Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 27 talks to us about a mom who had some incredible faith. Get ready. It's a pretty brutal story. You ready? It says this, and behold, a woman of Canaan, by the way, for those of you that are not familiar, Canaan was not Israel. Canaan was like the antithesis of Israel. The Israelites and the Jews were God's chosen people. Everybody else wasn't. So the Canaanites were not people of God. They were idol worshipers. They were people that were against God in many ways. They were conquered, and yet they were not the people of God that God had chosen. By the way, that was all of us. Every single one of us. We were not. Do we have any legit Jews up in here? Didn't think so. Because Israel is like exactly on the other side of the planet from us. So that would be a far way for them to come for a Sunday morning. So that means that none of us fall into the Jew category. That means we were all Gentiles. We were all just like this woman from Canaan. So listen to her story, because this is us. So a woman of Canaan, not chosen, not wonderful, not the chosen person of God, came from that region and cried out to him, talking about Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Can I pause real quick? If you don't know this, demon possession will stop you from your destiny pretty much all the time. Because if you're following the course that a demon is setting out for you, it's not going to take you to God's destination. It's like a bug in your GPS. You know, you guys ever had those places that you plug it in and it takes you one place and it's like, this is not the place. Yeah, it's just like that. Demon possession will take you right out of the will of God for your life, I promise you. So this woman had this daughter that was demon possessed. By the way, not her fault, the devil's fault. Verse 23. But he, Jesus, answered her not a word. Jesus, the guy that we're all like so super in love with because he's awesome. She's like, my daughter's demon possessed. He's like, put her on total ignore. Did not answer her a word. Is that a different Jesus than you think of in your mind? Listen, he answered her not a word. And then his disciples, the 12 guys that he picked out to change the entire world and to lead a revolution when Jesus left this earth, this is their character here, saying, send her away. Wait a minute. What kind of an operation you guys got going here? The Savior of the world and his chosen 12 people are like, send her away. She's crying out after us. She's making it miserable. She's like, help, help, help. And they're like, can you get rid of her, please? But then he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I got to pause there for a moment. If you don't know your destiny, you won't know what you're called to and what you're not called to. Then everything is an option. If you're living your life with a wide view that you can do anything that you want to, my friend, you don't know your destiny yet. Because you can't be, pick something. You can't be CrossFit champion like Matt Frazier and eat like Fat Albert. If you know who Fat Albert is. Hey. I'm older than I look. You cannot do those two things. You see, your destiny will make choices for you. Write that down. Your destiny will make choices for you. Because if you're going here, you cannot go there to get there. Your destiny will make choices for you. Jesus understood what he was called to do, so he couldn't be distracted from the destiny that he was called to. Listen, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, not you. Woman, not you. After hearing that, most people would have quit. I mean, first of all, he didn't even pay her the time of day, didn't answer her when she's crying out in a desperate situation. Then his disciples are like, get rid of her, please. Then he's like, I'm not called to you, lady. Look at what she does next. Verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him. What the heck? What is wrong with this woman? She is a bear deprived of her cub. This demon possession thing is getting in between her and her daughter. I bet you that her daughter was not the same person that she gave birth to after getting possessed by a devil. She worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay, in old English, what he's doing is saying, you are a dog. You're not even a person, lady. You are a dog. You know what she responds? She's worshiping him. And he says, you are a dog. You know what she says? Woof. That's what she said. Look, yes, Lord. Remember last week I told you whatever Jesus' question is to you, the answer is yes. Are you prideful? Yes. Yes. Woof. That's what she said. She's like, yep. But listen, lateral thinking. I mean, she was an increased thinker if I ever saw one. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs. Now, I don't like little dogs. They're yappy. Well, I remember growing up next door, we had these two chihuahuas that lived next door. Their names were Hebe and Jeebe. I kid you not. Hebe and Jeebe. Give you the heebie-jeebies in the middle of the night. Oh, my goodness. I wanted to kill those dogs. I wasn't as saved then as I am now. All right. So even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Listen, this lady is saying, Jesus, you are so amazing. I don't even need the bread. I just need the crumbs, dude. Like, I know I'm not a child. I'm a dog. Cool. But I get some crumbs. All I need is a crumb for my daughter. That's all I need, Jesus. This woman was so amazingly obstinate, stubborn, fixated. I mean, just, most people would have been like, oh, you called me a dog. And would have tucked tail and run. But she said, yup, but I can get some crumbs. By the way, you know what happens next? Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith. I haven't seen faith so great in all of Israel. And her daughter was completely delivered by the power of Jesus. You know, just because you get a no, just because you get ignored, just because you get put off, just because people are like, go away, just because people call you a dog or some other horrible name, doesn't mean that it should stop you from your destiny or from doing what you ought to do. I mean, this mom was standing in the gap for her daughter. She was like, my daughter's demon-possessed. But you don't get it, Jesus. My daughter is demon-possessed, and I need you to do something about it. You know why? There was no one else that could do anything about it. There are some people in your world that you are the only person that you can do something about their situation. You're the only one. And maybe you've put them on ignore. Maybe you've said some bad things about them or whatever. Wake up to your destiny, my friend. Because your destiny is for healing. Your destiny is for change. Your destiny is to help to stand in the gap. Parents, moms, stand in the gap for your kids. Don't let a no, a simple no, send you home. Don't let a simple name send you home. Don't let something as simple as demon possession cause you to give up on the destiny of your child. Just because they don't look like the way that you thought that they would look, don't give up on their destiny. Protect their destiny and earnestly go after God. By the way, God's the one that dispenses destiny. You think this lady meant business? You know, can I've said this many times before, but I'll say it again. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Yeah, amen. If you mean business with God, don't be playing. Like, it's not a playing thing. Jesus is real. And if you mean business with Jesus, Jesus means business with you. Look, moms, you need to be bold. Why do you need to be bold? Because you have to be bold enough to eliminate anything that comes between your child and their God-given destiny. Eliminate anything with extreme prejudice. I mean, just eliminate it. Don't let it stay. Maybe it's that lousy boyfriend they got. Don't eliminate him. Don't let him come between her and her destiny. Maybe it's that lousy girlfriend he got. Don't let her come between him and his destiny. Well, it's making him happy. Well, is missing your destiny going to make him happy at the end of the day? I mean, I know parents that don't ever say no to their kids. They let them eat whatever they want to and whatever. They're like, oh, I'm just loving them. Look, when they get diabetes and when they don't have no teeth left in their face and all that stuff because you let them eat whatever they wanted to and they didn't want to brush their teeth, so now they need a toothbrush instead of a teeth brush. You know, it's like, that ain't loving them. Loving them is loving them into their destiny, into the plan and purpose of God for their life. Man, we got to know how sometimes we got to say no. And you know what? Prayer works. You know, you gotta be so aggressive against those things that get in the way of destiny, moms. You gotta be so aggressive after that. By the way, can I apply this personally to you? If your mom is not sitting here with you, maybe you're outside of her home already or whatever, you got to be aggressively against anything that gets between you and your destiny. Do not let it stop you from your destiny. If it's a habit, break the habit. If it's a behavioral pattern, break the behavioral pattern. If you need help because this woman could not cast out a devil by herself, go get help. Yep. Amen. Anything, everything, even mama bears won't even back down from a male bear that will kill her. Usually the male, seeing this ball of fur and teeth coming his direction, are like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. They will get out from in between that bear and her cubs. We have to be extremely aggravated against anything and eliminate anything that gets between us or our children and their destiny. You know, my mom prayed bold prayers for me and over me when I was 2,500 miles away, living for the devil. She prayed bold prayers at the edge of my bed over me when I was 2,500 miles away, living like the devil. And you know what? Jesus changed my life. Not because of me. I had no desire to be anywhere around the things of God. And yet, a desire started to creep in. You know why? Because prayer works. Moms, if all you've got to eliminate that boyfriend, because you're not going to shoot them in Jesus' name. But if what you've got is prayer, then pray them out her life. Pray him out her life. Pray her out of his life. Whatever. You just pray that God's will, that his destiny would come through so strong and that they would begin to see that this is not the direction. By the way, if you are that wrong direction, get out the way. Mama's coming. It takes great boldness to allow God. By the way, I'll just back up for a moment about what I just said. That might be for somebody in here, but I was that wrong direction for people before. I'm just saying that right now. I was that wrong direction. I was the wrong opportunity. I was the wrong association for people before. Don't be that person. Because you know what? If you ruin somebody else's destiny, that's on you. Don't be that person. Thank God that I've repented for that. In fact, believe it or not, God had me go a step further, and everyone that I could think of that the Holy Spirit would bring to my remembrance, I went back and I found them. I called them, whatever, sometimes on the other part of the United States or whatever, called them and I asked them. God told me I had to ask them for forgiveness and repent before them for taking them into a place that they should not have gone. Maybe he'll make you do that, I don't know. But that's what he made me do. And you know what? It set me free, and it set them free. But it doesn't take back all the things that I did, or the places that I took them, or the things that I caused them to do. Nope, can't do it. I will not be the obstacle to someone's destiny anymore. I'm about to land this plane. It takes great boldness to allow God to have his way in our children. You know, listen to the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 33, it says this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Say, sent by God. He was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You guys know the story. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And look, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great." Listen, he will be great. and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Can I tell you that Gabriel told the absolute truth about Jesus? The absolute truth. You know, if that was us today, the way that we would go about this is that we would get a publicist and an agent. And then we would start to create, as they're a baby, we would create a Facebook page or an Instagram page for them, babies of Instagram. And we would start to promote them. And we would start to get them to have name recognition and all this stuff. But you know what? The path that God had to make this happen was incredible. It takes faith to believe what God is going to do and to allow God to have his way in our children. In other words, letting God have the wheel, taking our hands off, and allowing God to have the final say in their destiny. I wonder if Mary had any idea about how this stuff was going to take place. I bet you she did. Were they right? I don't know. But we do know some things that the Bible tells us. You know, many people today, even today in Israel, believe that the Messiah was going to come in a powerful way to overthrow the Roman government, and he was going to come in riding on a white steed, and he was going to beat them all up physically and establish his physical kingdom on this earth. There are people that still believe that today, and they missed the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But you know what? He didn't come the way that they thought that he was going to come. But did he accomplish what God said that he would accomplish? I would argue, absolutely. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 28. This is almost the last scripture I'm going to give you. Check this out. But Jesus called them to himself and he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those that are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him become your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to listen, give his life a ransom for many." He didn't come to establish a physical kingdom. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. God's chosen method of establishing Jesus' reign was through the vehicle of the cross. It wasn't the way that so many people thought the Messiah would come. God's way was through the cross. Totally the opposite direction of what everybody would have done. They would have established him as a natural king beating up on natural things. But God came through Jesus, through the vehicle of the cross, to establish his kingdom supernaturally and forever. Look, the cross was incredibly brutal. If you don't know about the cross, I suggest that you go and look up the crucifixion and what that was like. The cross was ugly. The cross was also the only way. See, nobody ever wants their kids to go through ugly things, horrible things, physically abusive things, horrible things, horrible emotional abuse. I mean, nobody wants their kids to go through those things, but Jesus went through every one of them on his way to the throne. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says this, "And Jesus went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me.' Nevertheless, in fact, in spite of all of that, in spite of my feelings, not my will, but as you will." I think what's amazing, because the Bible is so complete, is that you never once see Mary trying to talk Jesus out of the cross. Wow. If she knew what he was about to go through, you would have thought that a good, loving mom would at least say, "Are you sure about that?" But she never once even tried to talk him out of the cross. In fact, this is what the Bible records instead. John chapter 19, verse 25. Look at this. "But standing by the cross of Jesus," by the way, this was the occupied cross with him on it, beaten, bruised, torn, about to die. At his cross were his mother and his aunties, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. I mean, a whole bunch of Marys were there. But you know what? His mom is the first one listed at the foot of the cross. I don't know what kind of a boldness that would take. I try to put myself into that situation. If I had to watch one of my two children be brutally murdered, I don't know how I would do that. Could I stand there and watch it? Could I be there at the foot of the cross? And she was there. Talk about the boldness of a mama bear. Even till the last moment, she's there, guarding over his destiny. I bet you he thought to get himself off that cross. He said, at any moment, I can call 12 legions of angels. I bet you that, in fact, other people said, why don't you just bring yourself down off that cross? It was a thought in his mind. And I bet you that she was just there saying, no, son, you do this. It's your destiny. Can I bring a really sober thought for just a moment? And then I'll get off of it. Parents, if God called your child to do something as extraordinary as this, could you let them do it? Could you let them do it? I think about it, and I find it difficult. But your job is not to create them into the most functional, most normal, most average person on the face of the planet. Your job is to guard the destiny that God chose to dispense to your child. And in them is greatness. You gotta let them let the greatness out. A mama bear's greatest honor is to guard the destiny of her children, no matter what that might entail. No matter what that might entail, God has placed upon her children to support them and contend with them and for them to get into that destiny. I'm going to give you one thing that you should hold on to this week. Just one thing. Can you be bold enough to support your child, your friend, your spouse, whatever, in fulfilling God's destiny for their life, even if it will cost them everything? Can you support them in doing that? Decide to be bold this week like a mama bear. Guys, I hope you realize that this is no weak sauce stuff. This is massive. And I don't know if God did that just for moms because we dudes couldn't handle that like we can't handle childbearing. Can barely handle colds or whatever, you know. I don't know if God made it like that because women could handle that. Weaker vessel, I don't know. That's pretty tough stuff. Moms, thank you for guarding the destiny of your child. Born or unborn. There are children in this world, in this room and in our children's classes, that they're going to change the world. Yeah. And it is your honor and your privilege as their mom to guard them and to guard their destiny no matter what it might be and at any cost. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would just seal this word to our hearts and that you would help us in this way, even for the guys in here, God, that you would help us in this way to reflect the nature of God Almighty himself. Father, we honor our moms. We honor the role that they play in guarding our destiny. Father, I pray that they would be highly successful at doing that. And I pray that you would just cause us to have an unusual craving for what you want for our lives and for the lives of our children. Father, I pray that you would do that today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you welcome Pastor?